His word is it's the truth, and we'll look in second. In fact, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we talked a little bit about this Sunday morning in Sunday school if you were here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless his word tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Again, Lord, I thank you for this Wednesday night, Lord, right in the middle of the week where we can come together and fellowship, pray, and just get a little bit out of your word tonight, Heavenly Father, for us to get through the week, Lord, your truth. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. And starting in verse 14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." In verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect through throughly furnished unto all good works." So God's word here, what the Bible says is, I mean, it's good. It's you can trust God's word. It's profitable. God's word is profitable. It'll help us in our lives. It's good for reproof, it says. It's good for correction, and it'll just help you. There's it'll help a mom. It'll help a marriage. It'll help a father. It'll help an uncle, an auntie, cousins. It'll help you. If you go to his word, it's good. You can trust it. It's inspired by God. This is his word. So what better book to have is the Bible, his word, in our homes? And we ought to take care of God's word. And it is so precious. And so tonight we're going to look at a story about a prophet. When God speaks, there is no better book to turn to then the Bible, and then we just looked at 2 Timothy. God's word is nothing but good for you and I. How are we doing with spending good, undisturbed time in the word of God? I asked myself that question. How am I doing in spending that good time in the word of God where I'm meditating on it, pondering his words, and just learning and hearing, and not just, but hearing the word of God, being a doer of God's word, not just hearing. How are we doing with that? Do we have, I think I mentioned last Wednesday about that closet time with God, our devotion. It's a special time because what happens is we get in his word and we start, reading his word, and he speaks to us, and he starts beginning to answer questions that we might have or do a work in our lives, and his presence, it's right there. You know, we're drawing nigh unto him, and he's drawing nigh unto us, and we're turning our eyes upon Jesus when we go to his word. And I like that song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face." That's what happens. We come together with God. How are we doing with that? Psalm 91 says that he that dwelleth in the, Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I love that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Have you ever been in the secret place of the Most High? It's his secret place. And if you dwell there, the Bible says that you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's a big God, and he'll cover you, he'll protect you, and he'll, that's what that whole chapter is about, his protection. And I mean, he's got you covered. He'll take care of you as we go and we dwell in the secret place, that closet time that we have our devotion time with God. And this is just the intro, and bear with me. We'll get to the passage, the prophet Jeremiah is where we're going to be. But I believe that God is ready to do a mighty work up here in these foothills, and he wants to use you and I. That's exciting. He wants to use us. He's still in the miracle business. He still wants to heal marriages, and he still, despite everything that our world is going through today, what's going on with everything today. There's, you know, different rules being placed, you know. But there's none of that going on with God. Nothing's phasing him. He wants to do a work in the lives of the people up here in this community. And he wants to use you and I, and he wants to use our church to do it. I'm excited about our two young people, Bailey and CJ. They've been coming the last couple of weeks. I've known CJ by volunteering at the middle school when the kids were younger. When Ethan was younger, he's in Ethan's grade. And so Ethan was homeschooled for a long time, and now he's back at the high school. He's a freshman, but he's got a friend coming, CJ. And actually, he's not coming because of Ethan. I see people at the store all the time, and I kind of am acquaintance with his mom and dad, and they asked me about the church. They live just right up the road here, and they were asking about the church, and I said, yeah, bring them by on a Wednesday night. They came Sunday night, and they were dropped off, I talked to the dad, and he said, they wanted to come. Is that okay? I go, yeah, that's fine. They can sit in the church with us. You know, there's nothing for them going on, but they can sit in church, and they were like, they still wanted to be here, and they came, they sat with us. So our group over there is growing. Look out. It's exciting. God wants to do a work, and he wants to use us. He's a mighty God, I get excited. He wants to do a work, and he wants to use us. He wants to, get marriages back together, and he wants young people to get on track following him, and he wants to just do a great thing in the lives of the people up here. And we got to catch that. We've got to get on track with him and catch that vision. You know, Pastor, the value of one. We talked about Philip Sunday, and how, he challenged us to get the tracks, but somebody tell me about Philip. Oh, that's right. He continued. He was sharing the good news, right? Yeah, and he continued. Nothing stopped him. He just continued. That's what we ought to be, is just continually sharing the good news. And that is why it is crucial that you and I, as believers, must take heed to the Word of God. Because that's where we'll find the plans and the purpose, and we'll find what the vision God has, the heart that God has for people. And there's no greater theme to have this year is the value of one, because there are so many lost souls that we need to reach for him. And it's not a scary thing, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hey, how exciting that you and I can be a part of what God wants to do in reaching souls. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16 says, we got to let God show himself strong in our lives. And so we got to hearken to his word, because he's looking to and fro the earth. Who am I going to use? Who's out there? Whose heart is turned toward me? And so here we are, we look at the story of Jeremiah, the prophet. The prophet Jeremiah. You guys are familiar with Jeremiah. He had a ministry. His ministry, if you turn with me, we can turn to Jeremiah and we'll stay there for the rest of the evening. Jeremiah chapter 1. Familiar passage here, this first 10 verses. We kind of see a theme here, if you read it before, of how the word of the Lord came. In verse number 10 of chapter 1 in Jeremiah, the Bible says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." That was his ministry, was to uproot and destroy kingdoms. But if you turn back to verse number 1, I'll just read verse number 1 all the way through 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also, the word of the Lord, in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. See, Jeremiah had a ministry. So what we're looking here is at the call of Jeremiah, the calling of Jeremiah. And the title of the message is When God Speaks. Let's look at when God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. The first thing I want you to see here, or can I just say that when God speaks, he encourages. He encourages. So when God speaks, number one, he encourages. When God spoke to Jeremiah, notice with me in verse number 5, he said, before I formed thee. So the first thing he said to encourage Jeremiah is he said, I formed thee. I formed you, Jeremiah. I created you. Genesis 1:7. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The Bible says that we are created by God. Do you know that God also formed you and I? That's encouraging. When we spend time with God and he's going to give us a task to do, because he gave Jeremiah a task, and notice that this is all before he tells Jeremiah what he's going to do, he encourages him. It says the word of the Lord, he said, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, and he says, I formed you, Jeremiah. He says, you know, he says, I formed you. I created you. Isaiah 64:8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. He formed us. That's exciting. You know, we're challenged to grab 10 tracks. Pastor challenged us to grab 10 tracks a week, right? A week. And you think, man, that's kind of scary. You know, I mean, we're going to kind of see how we can relate to Jeremiah. But, you know, 10 tracks, oh, man, that's 10 families or people I'm going to have to, you know, communicate with as I give it to them. You know, that's kind of scary. You know, if it's a first time for you, what do I say? You know, oh, no, you know. You've been there before where you're just kind of, maybe you're battling, you're wrestling with the Holy Spirit. Have you been there? But he says, I formed you. So think, wow, the one who formed me, can I do that for him? He formed me. We know that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, and we'll see that in here. He's got our backs. He's our creator. And we're getting a task from the creator. That's special. Wow, you want me to do something for you? He can choose anybody, and he chooses all of us. He chooses each and every one of us. Those of you that are here. This business that we're talking about, God's word and changing lives, is not for just young people or you know, men or for women or for those for theologians. It's for each and every one of us. If you have God's word and you're spending time in God's word and he's speaking to you, do you hear him say, I formed you, I created you? He's encouraging Jeremiah. I mean, that's encouraging. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me when I look and I think, wow, you know, God, you are my creator, and you have forgiven my sins, and you got a plan for my life and a purpose for my life. That's exciting. He's the potter and I'm the clay. He's forming us. He's making us to be what he's called us to be. And sometimes there might be a little nick or a little blemish in it, and he starts over and he'll just continues. Don't be discouraged and don't be fearful. God is he's in control. That's encouraging me, and I'm sure Jeremiah was encouraged. Before I formed thee, he says, I formed you, Jeremiah. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. Created by God for a special task. As we get in his word daily and we hear him speak, God speaks. And when he speaks, he encourages and he says, hey, I created you. Jeremiah was encouraged when God spoke. And secondly, I want you to see how God encouraged Jeremiah. He said, not only did I form you, but he says, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Oh, to be known by God. He knows us. The creator, the one who created me, the one who created the universe, everything knows who I am. That's encouraging, isn't it? That's exciting. He knows. That could be scary. He knows you. He knows you. He knows me better than myself. He knows me better than anybody. He knows my struggles. He knows the rooms in my life. And yet he still loves. We are known and loved by God. So don't be discouraged that he knows you. Be encouraged because he loves you. You are known and loved by God. John 10:14, we hear God speaks. We hear God speak and say, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. He's the great shepherd. He knows all his sheep. Was it a couple weeks ago where we looked at the 99 and they went to go look for the one? If you were lost, he would leave all of us to go look for you. We are known and loved by God. He knows what you're going through. He knows your finances. He knows. So whatever it is, I don't know what's going on in your life, but he does. And he loves you. And he wants you to hold on. He wants you to be encouraged. He's our creator. He formed us and he knows us. He says, Jeremiah, I knew thee. It's good to be known of God. Can I say that we are fully known by God? 2 Timothy 2:19 says that we are known and are his. And Nahum 1:7, have you been there before or lately? The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust him. Are you trusting in him with your life? Are you trusting in him as your challenge to grab 10 tracks and to go out and just let your neighbor know that there's value, that God loves them? Trust him. He knoweth them that trust him. Will you trust him? Jeremiah here, let me get a drink of water. Jeremiah here, let's see, when I tell you, sorry, he was encouraged. He knows everything you're going through and he knows, sorry. Your fears, your pain, he knows your need, and yet he has this amazing love for you and I. And I love this in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Verse 31 says, listen, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, Jeremiah, I think he was a sensitive guy, huh? He was kind of like, I don't know, God, are you sure you want to use me? But God loved him, and God's trying to encourage him and say, Jeremiah, I formed thee, I knew thee, I know you, and I love you. In verse 35 and 39 of Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate you and I from the love of God. But here's a question. Are you persuaded of that? Are you persuaded of that? Because Paul says, I am persuaded. Do you know that nothing can separate you? There's nothing that we can go through that will separate us from the love of God. He knows. He knows us. So not only does he encourage Jeremiah and say to him that he formed him or he knows him, he also tells Jeremiah, he says, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, he said, I sanctified thee. This is also exciting to know and encouraging to know that God, he said, Jeremiah, I set you apart. He says, I got a special plan for you. God sets us apart. He takes us out from among the darkness, and we're a light that shines. Set apart, sanctified is to be set apart as or declare holy, free from sin, purity. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, listen, I have a special plan and purpose for you, and that's why I formed thee, and that's why I know you and love you, and I chose you for this task. Now you are set apart as my messenger. Messenger. We are messengers of Christ. It's encouraging. I like this portion of scripture. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. You know, God sets us apart. He finds favor. And that's exciting. We're special to God as Christians. We have I know I have an opportunity to witness in where I'm at work. That's so many different people, coworkers, and just people coming in and out of the store. And I think my biggest challenge is. You know, I'm working, so I can't really, you know, but I can just be a positive, you know, just smile, you know. Yeah, that's being a witness. It's just smiling, you know, smile and wave, but, you know, talking, let's go back to I know you. It's really not fair that everyone knows my name because I have a name tag, but I don't get to know everybody's name. And so a lot of times I'll just, if they pay, well, not anymore because everything's right here, you know, so convenient. We don't really communicate as much. Everything's fast and you know, get them out or whatever. But, you know, before, you know, when we had to look at the card, you know, I can look at their name. And there's nothing, I know it. I don't know about you. You guys tell me, but is it awesome when the employee says, hey, Mindy, good to see you. Isn't it awesome when it's a personal? You guys aren't just customers. In my eyes, you guys aren't just customers. You guys are friends. Wow, thank you for coming into our store. You know, we're friends. And you know, that's for me, that's what it's about, relationships. And really, our whole world, you know, our whole life is about relationships. You know, with our husbands, with our kids, you know, how are we doing? He knows us. How are we doing with that relationship? Are we good with God? He knows us by name. And so I love being able to call people out by their name and see their, you know, and that's what it's about. But he said, I set you apart. And so he tells Jeremiah, I set you apart for this, for you to be my messenger. Because, you know, and God knows it's going to be a tough task because he tells them somewhere down the road here, he says, don't be afraid of their faces. You know, that means, hey, these people aren't going to be happy when you say, thus saith the Lord. And it's going to be that way. There's going to be some people that we try to be a witness to that are not going to, they're going to be on, you know. You just got to keep on keeping on. Don't give up. And hear, get into God's word and hear him say, don't be afraid of their faces. I always wondered, you know, being a minister in like an inner city somewhere. You know, is it, you know, scary? You know, I wonder, you know, like, God, I'll be a preacher, Lord, but in the foothills only, not in the city. you know, not in LA or, you know, something like that, you know, but really we don't have to be afraid. But the truth is, sometimes we're afraid, huh? We're afraid to witness to some certain people, you know. No, don't ask them if they need help. They look, you know, we might use the word shady or, you know, no, I just let's avoid them. We can't be afraid. The Creator that created us, formed us, and knows us is the one who's right there with us the whole time. When God speaks. So this is all just as we get into God's Word and we spend time in His Word daily, He speaks. And when He speaks, He encourages. So don't be afraid to dive into God's Word and just ponder upon it and read some of the Old Testament. You know, I'm surprised I made it through some of those names. But, you know, He speaks. God will speak to you and He'll tell you, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. And this is how I want you to do it. And maybe you ought to wait, you know, do this, but maybe wait, you know. I mean, he knows every detail about what He's going to ask us to do. That's awesome. You know, we can really just all we can do is get excited about the call of God in our lives. Just, you know, and eventually Jeremiah does answer the call, and he does. He, you know, obedience, you know, when God speaks, we got to be obedient. We got to hear and be obedient, be a doer of His word. He sets us apart. And then not only that, we see that the next one, I have letter D or number four. I have ordained thee, he said. God said, Jeremiah. I'm appointing you. I've given you the authority. Just like in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I didn't write the verse down. You know what verses those are. It's when He says, go, go, go. He says, I have all power and I have the authority to send you out. I have appointed you. Then the word of the Lord came unto me in verse 4, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I'm glad He just calls me to my community and not the nation. You know, He called Jeremiah, He said, I'm appointing you prophet unto the nations. That's a big task. That's a big commandment or a job. But I like in verse number 6-9, then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, saying, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all the that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And verse number 9, then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So notice with me verses 6-9, we see that Jeremiah used his youth and his experience, his inexperience, if I said that right, as an excuse to God's calling, right? Oh, God, I'm just a child. I'm young and you know, I really, you know, I'm barely getting my feet wet. Are you sure? You know, he was, you know, we can sometimes use our insufficiencies or our weaknesses as an excuse. The teens, they you know, I'm not like my, I'm not very punctual with my words sometimes. Or I'm just me, okay? I'm just me. And my kids laugh at me all the time, or they look at me and they say that my eyebrows go crazy or something. And I don't know if you noticed that. It's just the thing. But it's funny, you know. And I, you know, I can say, well, you know what? Because of that, I'm not going to do youth group no more. And I can say, you know what? I can't pronounce those words, so I'm going to tell Pastor no. You know, I'm just not sure if I can give the gospel out, so I'm not gonna take 10 tracks. You know, I can use those excuses. You know, we have our excuses. Just like Jeremiah. Oh God, I can't do it. Lord, are you sure? Behold, I cannot speak, he said. He used it as an excuse. I believe that God was a little upset with Moses when Moses came up with an excuse. Do you know, if you look though, and you look and you see who God calls, oh, God is so good. I mean, you know, last week we looked at, remember the goodness of God, isn't it? He's good, right? He's been good this past week. You guys been remembering the goodness of God in your life? This is something to remember. This is the goodness of God and how he encourages us through his word. Yes, we are weak and we are insufficient without him. But just like I said last week, he's the vine and he's the true vine and we are the branch. And we can do nothing without him. Yeah, there are things that we just can't get right, that we just cannot do, but he can do it through us. You see, God just wants us to be available. Let's see, there's a quote here, and I don't know who said it, but I just heard it before. Let's see here. God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. I think I also heard a pastor or evangelist say, he doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. You see, God, he knows the task. He knows of all of these nations. And it's a big task to root out. You know, let's look at verse number 10 here. I would have been scared too if God said, you know, Sammy, I want you to go and I have this set before thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. That's a lot. Root out. You know, there's some of those kingdoms that got some bad roots. They need to be pulled out. You know, I think of, you know, our lives. Maybe there's some roots, some bad roots. We need to get rid of those. We need to root out. You know, we're in February. I don't know if we're going to get any more rain, but, it's almost time to start planting our gardens or whatever. But before we do that, we got to turn the soil. You know, we got to turn it about. The Bible says the story about the guy in the New Testament where he said, you know, cut it down. Why do you have that tree? I came to get fruit and there's no fruit. The fig tree, you guys familiar with that story? That's another message for another day. But man, he said, don't cut it down. Give me a year. He says, I'm gonna turn about the soil. I'm gonna clean it, root it out. I'm gonna clean up around it and water it. And maybe the weeds are too thick. You know, he said, let me do that first. And then next year, if there's no fruit, then you can cut it down. How are we doing? Are we growing, or do we need to root out? He said, Jeremiah, you need to root it out. There's some bad roots in there. He says, pull down. How about those idols that need to be pulled down? That's what that's a big task. You know, he's saying, hey, you gotta take that statue down and quit worshiping that idol. He's gotta go and say, thus saith the Lord. Yeah, you gotta take it down. You know, pull down and destroy. Get rid of it. Destroy it. That's why that's why David cut Goliath's head after Goliath was down. I remember that message by, we had I think it was Revival or I can't remember his name, but man, he preached that sermon on that, and then he said that he used Goliath's sword to cut off his head. He said he wanted to make sure that he was dead. Get rid of it. Get rid of that. We got to cut it off. I remember that message. I'll never forget it. That was good. Sometimes we throw, I don't know, we get rid of a sin in our life, but we're holding on to maybe just a piece of it. And no, we got to destroy it. Get rid of it so that we can move forward, lay aside that weight and that sin, the Bible says, so that we can keep running the race. And we can run, you know, hey, Kathy, Dorley, you guys all right? You know, we just keep going, you know, but sometimes we get distracted and we'll stop and pick up things that we don't need to, and next you know, we got a bag full of who knows what, and we're just wondering why we can't keep moving forward for God. But we got to lay it aside. It's something we have to do. Lay it aside and get rid of it. Destroy it. He's telling Jeremiah, you got to destroy and throw it down. Get rid of it, and then build, and then rebuild. Build and plant. That's a lot of work. It's like, I don't know if you guys do gardens or not, but you do your garden and the harvest is here. You pick the harvest, right? And if it's unless it's a reoccurring fruit or something, but usually you have to get rid of it, right? You start over the next time, right? You plant and you build. God, he wants to build. He wants to rebuild in our communities, you know, marriages and families and souls. He wants to rebuild his kingdom, and he wants us to be a part of it. That's exciting, and that's why he encourages us. He says, I'm your creator, and I know you. I formed you, and I set you apart. If we would just serve him and get in his word daily and hear him speak. So Jeremiah, he had an excuse. And yes, we are weak and insufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, though. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's okay to be weak. There's, when I'm on my knees, it's not that I'm weak, but I'm getting stronger. That's awesome. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And you know, Paul was struggling. God, you got to help me. God, to just take it from me. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And last week we also talked about our, you know, expressing our neediness to God. That's why we express our neediness. Lord, I need you. And his strength is perfect because we are weak. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. And when we are called by God, trust me, he equips you. He'll give you everything you need. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. We must allow God to take center stage in our life. Sometimes, you know, we put him in the backstage, or sometimes we put him off, let him be the backup singer in our life, you know. Maybe he needs to be the driver in our life. A little bit more often, you know, when we get in his word, that's what we're doing, is we're letting him drive the car of our life. You know, we're letting him take center stage in our life, because then when people look at us and see us, guess who they see? They see him and not us. And then our Father in heaven will be glorified. He'll give you everything you need. We must trust him. And I like what he tells Jeremiah. He says, don't tell me that you're a child. He said, don't say that. Because look at what he says in verse number 9. He says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words into thy mouth. I'll give you the words to say. And we can trust him. He'll give you the tools. He'll give you everything you need. So let me challenge you. Let's be in the Word of God daily. And let's listen to what God says when He speaks. Because He speaks, God speaks through His Word. And He'll encourage you. Let's pray.